نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، the way that we dress is not something external, but it's also connected to what we believe, to what we hold dear, to how we want to live, to our outlook in life. And as believers, supposedly, everything that we have to do, that we choose to do, must be done with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. He's never absent. As it is the case that whenever we want to eat, we consider what Allah wants us to eat and what not. How He wants us to eat, how He wants us to sleep, how He wants us to marry, how He wants us to have children. Meaning every aspect in our life is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We let go of our desires, of our choice, for that of Allah Azza wa Jal. We deem what He wants better than what we want. We seek His guidance because it's better than human guidance. So when we want to dress, we have to anchor all of that and all the choices that surround it in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something much deeper to how we choose what we wear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, O children of Adam, we have sent down, we have given you garments, clothes, to cover your nakedness and to adorn you. And the garment of taqwa is better than that. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, first, recognize this as a favor, because this is something that could escape us. You simply have clothes in your closet. You can simply buy this and that. You stop realizing that this is a ni'mah. When it protects you from heat and cold, it's a ni'mah. When it covers your nakedness, it's a ni'mah. And he says, doesn't just simply by necessity or covers what is necessary, but it also adorns you, it also beautifies you. That's another ni'mah. And Allah wants us, when we realize this, to remember another ni'mah. That is, when you realize that this clothes is a ni'mah, you have to thank Allah for it. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would wear something, he would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma anta kasawtanihi wa razaqtanihi. Allahumma laka alhamdu anta kasawtanihi wa razaqtanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. Ya Allah, hamd belongs to you. Praise, gratitude belongs to you because you gave me this to wear and gave it to me without any might or power on my part. It's all from you. And when he would wear something new, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would say, Allahumma laka alhamdu anta kasawtani, Ya Allah, praise be to you, you're the one who gave me this to wear. I ask you for its best, and I seek your protection from its evil. So here we recognize this as a ni'mah, but then we don't stop there, because Allah said that the garment of taqwa is better. Because what you wear on the outside could wear out. And if you don't have it, the maximum that it does is to expose a body, a physical body. But what lasts is taqwa. In the dunya and in the akhirah. And it's a better garment. A person could be dressed in the most expensive clothing, but lacks taqwa, and he would be ugly. And a person could have taqwa in the most modest of clothing, and he could be the most beautiful person. What lasts is taqwa. So Allah says, don't chase after the material, chase after what lasts. Clothe yourself on the inside. It's much better than what you spend on the outside, though it is permissible. And Allah wants you to remember and make connection between the two. That's why Allah, these as a sign so that they would remember. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He says, don't let the shayateen, the devils, tempt you like the tempting of your father when he expelled them from Jannah. He removes their clothing from them so that he would show them their nakedness. Indeed, he and his progeny, his children, sees you, but you do not see them. Indeed, we had made the devils companions to those who disbelieve. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you about a plot concerning clothes that goes all the way back to whom? Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. What is his plot? His plot was that I want to remove their clothes, which is the clothes of Jannah. I want to remove their clothes so that I could show them their nakedness. So he says, don't let him repeat that with you. You already know what happened before. So a plot of the shaitan, no matter what name it takes, whether it's in the name of being fashionable, or modern, or fitting in, or up to date, or rich, when you see them wanting to strip you of your clothes so that you show more of your body, more of your skin, tighter clothes, then you understand that the shaitan is behind it. Doesn't matter if it has the name of a famous designer. It doesn't matter if a lot of people are doing it. It doesn't matter what justification it takes. You understand that the shaitan is behind it. So you have to protect yourself from the plot of the shaitan, because Allah said, he sees you, but you don't see them. So you don't understand how they're plotting, but Allah revealed that plot. And he said, if you disbelieve, the shaitan will be with you all the time, inspiring you to do the things that Allah hates and behave in ways that Allah hates. So covering our nakedness, our body is necessary. It's part of Iman. And it's jahiliyyah to reveal the body. As if you trace the jahiliyyah at the time of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, they would reveal their bodies. In salah, in tawaf, around the Kaaba and elsewhere. If you see the jahiliyyah today, they reveal their body and they tell you this is progress. But the Prophet ﷺ said otherwise, unless the aim is to progress into hellfire, then a person can progress towards it. He said, for instance, about women, قَالَ صِنْفَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَمْ أَرَهُمَا. It says, two groups of the people of hellfire, I am yet to see, I haven't seen them. They're not around. فَذَكَرَ وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ مُمِيلَاتٌ لَا يَجِدْنَ رِيحَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يَدْخُلْنَهَا وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَيُوجَدُ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. It says, the group, one of them that he did not see, he says, women that are clothed and naked, crooked and causing crookedness, they shall not enter Jannah, nor will be able to smell it, and its smell can be found from such a far, far space, far, far distance. What does it mean when we say clothed and naked? The scholars have said they are clothed in a way but naked in another, meaning what they're wearing is transparent. What they're wearing is tight. You can see, you know what her body looks like. She's clothed but not clothed. Crooked in the way that she is dressed, causing crookedness because she's inviting people to dress that way. He says, these will be in hellfire unless they repent. That's not progress. But this is not only about women. It's also about men. The Prophet ﷺ once passed by a Sahabi who had exposed his thigh. So he says, غطي فخذك فإن الفخذ عورة. He says, cover your thigh. Your thigh is عورة. Cover your thigh because your thigh is عورة. A lot of men take this lightly. When they dress, they don't consider or they don't think that they also have an عورة between their navel all the way to their knees. So if you wear something that exposes it, or something that is tight, that describes your body, it is haram, or at least it is disliked. So that is also a awrah that needs to be covered. And some men, you notice this, when they go into ruku' and sujood in the salah, the top, when they bend, exposes their backs. And when they go into the sujood posterior, is exposed as well. And exposing that awrah in the salah could invalidate your salah. So you want to be careful about this. It's not only simply about women, but also about men and how men should behave. So covering that nudity, that nakedness, is something that is honorable and should be implemented. Now, another aspect of clothing that we should pay attention to is not to wear anything for self-validation, to increase our self-worth, for pride and arrogance. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man labisa thawba shuhratin." أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ ثَوْبَ مَذَلَّةٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Whoever wears something, a clothing, a garment, for distinction, for attention, and that is typically associated with pride, that is, they want to grab people's attention because of the thing that they are wearing. He said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ Allah will clothe him in a garment of humiliation on the Day of Judgment. Because that's kibr. So when you are shopping, when you're going to the store and you say, I'll buy this thing. And because I'm buying this thing, everybody will notice me. Everybody will praise me. Everybody will like me. Their heads will turn when I enter and when I leave. I'll be respected. And when you are trying to derive this self-worth from a piece of clothing, and because of it also, I'm gonna be better than him. And I'm going to be better than her because I have this bag, these shoes, that hat, this and that. When it causes arrogance, it becomes what? A problem, a serious problem, a major sin. You can wear nice things. It's not haram. You can wear nice things. You can wear beautiful things. In fact, a person asked the Prophet ﷺ after he had heard the Prophet saying, if you have the least bit of pride in your heart, you will not enter Jannah. مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ The smallest of pride in your heart, you will not enter Jannah. He says, O Prophet of Allah, I'd love that my clothes would be beautiful. And my sandals and shoes would be beautiful. Is this prideful? He says, no. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Pride is something else. At the same time, it is typical when you overspend on clothes that you cannot shake off the feeling that because I wore it, I'm better. And I'm better than him and I'm better than her. And if that is the intent when you buy, if you feel that you're going to be better because of it, it's better not to buy that. It's better not to wear it. Because it could breed arrogance. And you're chasing brands and fashion just simply to feel better about yourself, just simply to assign some value to your life, to prove to people that you are someone and something. The Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, kind of to, on the one hand, achieve moderation. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَالْبَسُوا وَتَصَدَّقُوا مَا لَمْ يُخَلِطْهُ إِسْرَافٌ وَلَا مَخِيلًا. He says, eat and drink and donate and dress as you want, as long as you are free of two things, extravagance, wastefulness, and pride. You're not wasteful, you're not prideful, then you could wear what you want. At the same time, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, a couple of other hadith I want to share with you. On the one hand, he said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فِي حُلَّةٍ لَهُ مُعْجَبٌ بِنَفْسِهِ مُرَجِّلٌ جُمَّتَهُ فَإِذْ بَلَعَتْهُ الْأَرْضُ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِيهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِذْ خَسَفَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, while there was a man walking in clothes of his, admiring himself after he had combed his hair, filled with self-admiration, he says, the earth swallowed him. And he will continue to be swallowed by this earth until the day of judgment. That's the cause of pride. And to emphasize modesty, he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, من ترك اللباس تواضعا وهو يقدر عليه دعاه الله يوم القيامة على رؤوس الخلائق حتى يخيره من أي حلل الإيمان شاء. He says, if a person gives up expensive clothing, though he can afford it, out of humility, Allah will invite him on the day of judgment in front of everybody so that he would have him choose which of the garments of paradise he would like to wear. So this person is rich and he can afford it, but he says, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to overspend in something that I do not need. I want to be humble. I want to breed that humility into my heart and into my body and into my family. I'll buy something that is lesser. He says, if you do this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, the honor is unimaginable. Because Allah will say, I'll invite you in front of everybody. Everybody can see. Because in the dunya, you didn't want to be seen. In the dunya, that's very different than fashion and culture today. In the dunya, you did not want to be seen. You didn't want to be recognized. You didn't want to be praised and celebrated. So Allah praises you and celebrates you on the day of judgment by saying to everybody, look at him. And he now will have his pick of whatever garment of the Jannah he wants. And that is true dignity and that's true nobility. So chasing after for the sake of arrogance is very dangerous. And we want to restrain that type of consumerism to save our iman. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Another thing that we should be cautious with when we decide to wear is not to imitate the opposite sex. So he said عليه الصلاة والسلام in one hadith, لعن الله المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال. May Allah curse, cast away from His mercy those men who imitate women and those women who imitate men. And in the more specific hadith, he said عليه الصلاة والسلام لعن الله الرجل يلبس لبسة المرأة والمرأة تلبس لبسة الرجل. He said, may Allah curse, cast away from His mercy a man who dresses like a woman and a woman who dresses like a man. And the lines of in Islam, they have to be absolutely clear. As a man, you're not supposed to imitate women in how they dress and how they walk and how they talk. And women likewise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invoking Allah's curse for people who do this tell you that this is a major sin, something that is extremely serious, because when the roles start mixing and you don't know anymore who's a man and who's a woman, society collapses, because the family collapses. So men are not supposed to wear makeup, even though you see it in some cultures that spread this, and you see it spreading from one country to the other. There's no male makeup. Females wear makeup inside their house, not outside. Outside, it's a sin. Men are not supposed to adorn themselves with jewelry. So he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, that harir and dhahab haramun ala dhukuri ummati. He says, silk and gold are haram for the males of my ummah. You're not supposed to adorn yourself with gold. You're not supposed to wear silk. Females, they can, but not males. Because you're supposed to be rugged as a man. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to be the leader, the responsible person. Not a soft person. That is reserved for females. So jewelry is for females, not for men. Allah said in the Quran, أَوَمَن يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. He says, the one who is brought up around jewelry, trinkets, adornments, who is this? Females. In the tafsir, they say that is an indication that males are not supposed to be like that. So I would invite all men, and I know we don't know this, all men to abandon such beautification. Bracelets, necklaces belong to females, not males. You're not supposed to adorn yourself with that. Even when you have a ring, the Prophet ﷺ did not recommend it. He had it, it's permissible. And he held it or put it in the smallest finger. If you were to wear it, you cannot wear a ring because it's forbidden in the index and middle finger. And some scholars, they also add to it the thumb. Because if you were to wear, it'd be in the smallest finger. So adornment, females. And you want to see if women wear a particular color, a particular type of style, a particular design, that's for them and never for you. And the same thing for females. If something is specific to males, you don't dress like that. And we can remember a time when it would be unimaginable for a female, even a Christian female, to leave the house wearing pants. It would be unimaginable. You don't have to go far in the past that they would never wear something like that. Why? Because that is male attire. And it's also revealing. So also this is an indication. I don't want to quarrel over who said this and who said that. This is an invitation to all the sisters who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. It says, let go of that thing. It describes your body. Even if you say it's loose and what have you, it describes your body. Transition out of that into something that is less descriptive of your body. And finally, as it also pertains to men, because you sometimes notice this, and again, the assumption is a lot of men do not know this. The way that you style your hair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha anil qaza'. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade qaza'. They said to the Sahabi, "What is qaza'?" He said that he would shave part of the head and leave the rest. You would shave part of the head and you leave the rest. And it took different forms throughout history. They would shave this part and leave the other. The form that it takes most dominant today is the sides and the back. It gets shaved off and you leave the top. I know a lot of us may not know this, but that is forbidden. And it opens up the other idea, which is what? Imitating the disbelievers. That is, something could be in itself permissible. But when you wear it because a fasiq, a sinner, a disbeliever is wearing it, it becomes haram, because that's your intention. If it is known that a particular type of people dress that way, and you dress like them, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. If you imitate a people, you're one of them. So choose for yourself. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be resurrected with? Because he said, ﷺ, if you love a people, you will be resurrected with them. And when you imitate a people, you surely will love them. Or it's coming out of love. So that's another thing to keep in mind. A famous this and a famous that. And because they're famous and because you like them, you start talking like them, dressing like them, combing your hair like them, adopting their ideas, or maybe that's the second stage. Realize that when you take a step towards someone that Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes because of their deeds and lifestyle, you're upsetting Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's not an innocent imitation. So ask Allah, رب العالمين أرحم الراحمين, to make us people of taqwa, who do what he loves subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from what he hates. We ask you, Ya Rabb, that he would teach us our religion and give us the strength to follow it, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Ya Allah, make us among the learned on the face of this earth. Make us among the strong on the face of this earth. Make us among the forgiven on the face of this earth. Forgive us all of our sins, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen, and the sins of our families and the sins of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask you, Ya Allah, for the best in this dunya and in the akhirah. We seek your protection from the worst in this dunya and in the akhirah. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان رب العالمين. اللهم أنزل رحمتك على أهل الشام ورب العالمين وعلى أهل السودان وعلى كل من عانى من المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا وكف بأس عدوهم رب العالمين. اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا. اللهم اكفنا عدوهم بما شئت فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وأمدهم بمدد من عندك يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن نصرهم ولا تجعلنا ممن خذلهم, وانصرهم يا رب العالمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين.